So, our scripture reading is found in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. And if you are watching online with us, you can find that in your Bible, which is page 955. Let us read together. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Since Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs in your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God.
Going to be in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. And so we're just going to pick up right there. So if you have your Bibles, you should, Mark just read, you can carry on with that and or open them up, grab one in the pew in front of you. Last Sunday, we celebrated as a church Resurrection Sunday, which is always an exciting Sunday, one of the highlights of just the year for me and for most Christians, where we are reminded at that time. And we say to each other that he is risen. Yeah, he is risen indeed. We can say it outside of just Resurrection Sunday too. So that's what we're doing, right? Because it's exciting to say those things. And one of the things that I'm reminded of each Easter, which I reminded us of last week, is that Resurrection Sunday is the reminder that Jesus didn't just look down. God didn't just look down at the earth and see what was going on and said, this is a mess. I don't think I can work with this. You know, I gave the example of going to your fridge sometimes and you find a Tupperware container and it's just a disaster. Maybe this week you found some Easter dinner leftovers, anybody? And you said, what was this? Should I try it? Should I not? And God didn't just throw us out, but instead he sent his one and only son to live among us, to pay the price for our sins so that we could be fully alive in Christ with him. That's what we talked about last Sunday. That's what Easter reminds us of. That's what the resurrection reminds us of. And as we look at this passage today, what I want us to see as we continue on is that we are alive in Christ with God's people for his glory. So chapter 3, verse 1 of Colossians says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ." This is where it starts, okay? The rest of everything that I'm going to say right now is dependent on this, which we've already talked about last week, and even on the whole book of Colossians is about this, that if we call ourselves Christians, that is determined by this, if we have been raised with Christ. We can call ourselves Christians and think that, hey, if I showed up to Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and maybe even today, that would be like trifecta, three in a row, that doesn't make us a Christian, and we already know that, right? It's not about what we do. Even in this passage, we're going to find some lists of things that Paul tells us to take off, and lists of things that we're supposed to put on, things we're supposed to stop doing, and things we're supposed to start doing. But these are not lists and things that just flow because there's a list, and I need to follow that list. It's not, I stop doing this just because they're bad to do. Or I stop doing this because I can work really hard at doing it. All of these changes and the taking off and the putting on that Paul talks about here in the rest of the Bible, it all begins with the fact that Christ is in us. This is the power for us to change. This is the reason for us to change. This is what compels us to continue walking with Christ, this ongoing renewing of who we are. That's the first and foremost, most important thing, that we are alive in Christ. If you skip these first four verses and just try to get to put to death then sin, you've missed it. Because you're just trying to do it yourself, and you're never going to be successful. Once you see your identity in Christ, that is the motivation to continue to live for Christ. Even as we sin, even as we fall short, we prayed a confessional prayer together, even as we've confessed that we have fallen short of God's glory this week, if we understand our position in Christ, that doesn't affect us, that doesn't affect our standing with God, that he came down so we could be in right relationship with him. We can be in right relationship. So that's what we're looking at today. And verses 1 to 4 tells us that we are called to live in Christ. So verse 1, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Now, at least two kind of commands are given to us here. It tells us this, set your hearts on things above, and it tells us, set your minds on things above. So clearly, we're already getting this picture from the words that are being described here, that though all of us were on earth, right? If you didn't know that you were on earth right now, welcome. You are on earth, okay? And scripture tells us, though we're here, we're supposed to not fix our eyes on all that's going on here. Maybe you have something in the crock pot waiting for you when you get home after this. Don't think about that, right? As we go through our days, scripture reminds us to set our hearts, so our affections, on things above, and to set our minds on things above. Not just getting tied down with all that's going on in this world. Now, this is difficult, I understand. It's very easy to be distracted in this world that God has placed us. Very easy to be distracted. Actually, when I was writing this, I just went dot, 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 and I moved on to the next part of my sermon. I didn't even fill it out, so I had to come back later because I was distracted by something else. It's easy to be distracted in this world and to not set our hearts on things above or set our minds on things above. We get involved in all that is going on. Now, there's an author, Scott Hubbard, who wrote this, which is kind of a way, or he just writes this to kind of take us from where we are in the hustle and bustle of every day as it begins to say, what if we started our day a little bit different? And so he wrote this. He said, "Set aside for a moment the day's pressing tasks. We all have pressing tasks in our minds right now. Hush, if you can, the hopes and desires that rushed upon you the moment you awoke. Step away from the morning's burdens. Forget what the hours ahead may hold. Now, Christian, remember, you are going to heaven because we are alive in Christ. Very soon, even any moment, this is the truth that the Bible reminds us of, to live like this. You will be hastened away from all you've known here to take an eternal holiday. You will wake up to find your lungs filled with the air of a better country, Hebrews tells us. Your sorrows and sighs will be out of sight, Isaiah reminds us. And you will see Jesus face to face, Philippians. And with him, you will be home, 2 Corinthians. Now, if we could step back at the start of our day, before the day's tasks, desires, and burdens, and keep an eye upward, will that change how we live our day? And so that's just the reminder that this author wrote about, that we are easily distracted 1,000 ways, of different worries and tasks. There's so many things that we can get involved in, watching playoff sports, watching Netflix, eating great food, preparing all these things. There is so much that takes us away. And so we are called in this passage to live in Christ. And so as it goes on, it says, set your hearts on things above and your minds on things above. But the key in this verse 1 is that is where Christ is seated. It says Christ is seated at the right hand of God already. Okay? So set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The reminder of these 4 verses, we could unpack this in the whole sermon, and that would be more than enough. You could unpack this for many sermons. Because the reminder here is that we are alive, but verse 3, that we died. Our life is now hidden with Christ, right? We saw that last week. We died, and with that, we rose again with Christ. And our life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's our new identity. So it doesn't matter what we do, it doesn't matter. We are not trying to earn our salvation. We already have it. We're not trying to earn favor with God. We're not trying to please him so he accepts us. We are already in right relationship. That's what this talks about. And so it says that one day, because we also believe in the resurrection, right? Resurrection Sunday, and he ascended into heaven, that Christ one day will appear again. And when he appears, it says, so also we will appear with him in glory. Now, in honor of Earth Day, which was this week, April 22nd, I'm going to give an illustration that I've already used before because, why not recycle an illustration on Earth Day just to make it a little bit better? And so you've all seen me use the Tupperware before, and this is not mine, so it's actually reused and recycled because I didn't come up with this. And so the reminder in this passage is, I'm a visual guy, maybe you are as well, maybe you can just take these words, maybe you're thinking something else, but Scripture here gives us a beautiful picture of who we are and our identity in Christ, and everything else flows from this. So this is us, okay? Some of you might feel like this isn't a good rendition of you, others might think that's very complimentary. This is you. It's Tupperware, kind of like the Tupperware that we decided. We went to our fridge, there was leftovers in it. We are thankful that God didn't throw us out, right? Instead, he took us and he paid the price for our sins. So here is us as Tupperware, but the Scriptures tell us in this passage that there's a problem. And the problem with us and our identity is that there is sin in us, right? That's this right here. There's a puck in there. You can see that. It says sin on it. This is us, all right? So all of us born into this world, this is our identity as we are here, as humans on this earth. But Scripture goes farther than that. It doesn't just say that we're us and that there's sin in us. There is sin all around us, and that sin is in us, but we're also born in sin. So sin covers who we are. Okay, so this is actually what the Scripture says we are like. All right, everywhere around us and in us, this is the problem. This is why we can't go to heaven. Because God is holy and we are not holy, Okay, so we can try to do all of these lists that are going to come up. We can try to follow all of those lists. You can check them all off. We know Romans just tells us, though, that lists show us that we break the law. They show us that we're sinners. They actually help us to invent other ways to sin because we're like, oh, can I do this? Nope, you can't do that. This is our identity. That's why we need a change. We need Christ in us, because if not, doing outward things doesn't solve what's in us, okay? And so Colossians tells us in chapter 1 that Jesus paid the ransom price for us. He rescued us. We talked about this last week as well. It said that we were all dead in our sins in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. We are all dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our flesh, yet God made us alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, nailing it to the cross. So what it tells us is that Christ paid the price for our sin. Okay, so he actually rescued us, ransomed us, and redeemed us, not just from the sin all around us, but also the sin in us. So now we have our new identity, all right? Sin is all gone. But that's not enough, right? Because we would just put something else in there. We would put other sin in there, and we would be prone to continue and sin again, and then it would be filled. So Christ went further than that. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope in glory." And we know this as Christians, that Christ has put himself in us. This is the hope of glory for us, that we are no longer filled with sin. We are actually filled with Christ. He is there. We also know that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the deposit that one day when he returns, he's already put a deposit on our life. The Holy Spirit and Christ is in us, it says in Colossians. Now, it goes further, and it says, Christ is not only in us, but we are now in Christ. That's what we're talking about, right? So again, this is our new identity. You can see it's just like sin. Sin is now gone in us and around us, and now we're in Christ. This is us in here. But the passage goes further in what we're reading today. And what we're reading today says this. It says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." So we need one more, and this is the big God box, because our identity is that we are now hidden. Christ is in us. That's us, right? He's put himself in us. We are wrapped in Christ, and Christ is in God. And this is our new identity as followers of Jesus. The sin is no longer there. See, once you understand positionally what Paul and what Scripture teaches, we live our lives from this position. The lists, they don't help earn this. They don't do anything for this, okay? So I'm going to read this passage one more time of the first four verses so we can see what it says. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, and you also will appear with him in glory." Now, this passage reminds us that Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and we are seated with him. This is us, right? Here on this earth, we live. But we are seated with Christ at the right hand up there, on the throne. That's where Christ is, okay? Christ isn't there. His throne's over there, and God's over there, okay? We are lifted up. Sometimes we need to see that visual reminder because this is our reality. This is the spiritual reality of our lives, that we are considered holy, blameless. Christ is in us. We're in Christ. We're in God. And we are sitting on the throne. Okay, so when we live out our life, we need to understand who we are. Now, I understand this is a future reality of, like, one day this will become present physical reality, but this is the truth of who we are. This is our standing before God right now. But me and you, we live here on this earth, right? So I think we need these visuals sometimes to remember that he has given us all this stuff to live out, though, in this life. Now, here's the reason why. As we get into these lists, of put off, stop these things, don't do these things, then we are reminded with all of this, with these things, that the reason why we are told to put off and to stop and to not do certain things, here is the reason. Because if you're in heaven, where Christ is seated, where God is, where he is holy and righteous and good, are we supposed to have any of these behaviors? Are we supposed to be acting like this? No, we can't, because we are holy, we are righteous by Jesus. And Jesus says, you are living here as my holy and righteous people. That's what it says in verse 12. You are my chosen people, you are holy, and you are dearly loved. And you are living here on earth. You have a reality right now in heaven, but you live on this earth. And on this earth, you are supposed to act like your image already is. You are supposed to act like the person that Christ has already made you, which is holy. So all of these things that we're supposed to stop, God says, they don't reflect my image. They don't reflect who I am, okay? So we need to remember that. We need to remember that we're up there. So the easiest way for me to do that is to put us up there, okay? You're all nice teddy bears, okay? So we are, haven't practiced this one. Ugh! Nathan, did we take the water out? No, I'm just kidding. All right, we are up there, okay? We're up there. Seated on the throne, that's what we need to remember. That's our position now, in Christ, on the throne, okay? So as this passage continues then, we are called in verse 5 to put to death then all of these earthly things, part of the earthly nature that we have, okay? We have a new reality in heaven. It's guaranteed for us by Christ himself, his blood, accepted by God the Father. That's why he rose again. And we are called to live out of that. So verse 5, as it continues, it says, put to death therefore whatever belongs to your earthly nature, because we're now heavenly people. Put to death then that which is there, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because these, the wrath of God is coming. We know this. God's wrath is coming. It was poured on Christ on our behalf on the cross, right? And it will still come for these things. But we are not earthly. We don't have an earthly nature anymore. We are part of God's kingdom. So it says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways. So we need to know the language and remember the language that it sets up here. So we set ourselves up for success, not failure. Instead of saying, oh man, I still walk in these ways. We need to remember what our identity is. And it says, I used to walk in these ways, in the life I once lived. But now I must also rid myself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And so this passage, the reminder that we see here as it continues on, is that we have, it uses the words, put to death, the way that you used to walk, rid yourself of, take off your old self and put on your new self. And so that's what we see in verses 5-9 here, is that as we are alive in Christ, we are to be putting off our old self, okay? We are to take it off, get rid of it. Now, back, I worked on a duck farm once, literally once. And I was excited for the new job. The pay was pretty good. And I thought, hey, I could work on a farm. I grew up in Newmarket. Why not? I grew up in the suburbs. It was terrible. And so I went to King Cole Ducks for my first day of the job. And I was excited. And, to go into the barn and see the cute little ducklings. And, as I entered that barn for the first time, I quickly changed my mind. And I realized how stinky it was in there, how utterly smelly it was. It wasn't just like bad. It reeked. And it was like, you know, gag in your mouth. There was this thick wall of stink as you entered. And I was not ready for that. You know, the incredible thing is that after just a short while of being in the barn, you get used to it. And you don't even notice that you're in that environment anymore. And then you come out into the fresh air and you smell yourself, which is always bad. And then you get into your car and you smell yourself even worse. So you have to take off your clothes. And before you get into your house, you know, my mom was not letting me in the house. You have to take off your clothes. You get into the shower and you feel like a new person, right? Now, after that shower, though, I don't grab those clothes that I just wore and put them back on, right? Because I'm all showered now. I'm all clean. You know, as a child, you might want to put on your old clothes again. But as an adult, we understand we are all clean. We've been washed clean. This is our new identity. Scripture tells us here to take off your old self. Take off your old filthy rags that you used to live in with your old earthly nature, and put on your new identity in Christ, and live in this identity, embracing it. And so it continues on, and it says, verse 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of the Creator. The idea there of being renewed is this ongoing renewal, and this is our hope, that Christ is continually renewing us, that our mind is being renewed, right? We have other passages in Scripture that reminds us of this. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're reminded in Matthew to not lay up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. 1 Timothy reminds us, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. This is the reminder for us as we take off our old filthy clothes and put on our new clothes. And the reminder here is that our new self is being renewed. We haven't fully arrived while we're here on this earth. That's why we need to remind ourselves to put to death these sins. But we also need to remember positionally that our mind is being renewed and God is doing this work. The more we lean into and love God, love his word, the more he continues to renew us. He renews us in the knowledge, and here's the key, in the image of its Creator. The reason why all of this is to happen, the reason why as God's people we're not supposed to do these things, is we are to reflect the image of God here on earth as individuals. Our new identity is to reflect the holiness of God. That's what it says here. We are being renewed in the knowledge and in the image of its Creator. What do we know about the image and the knowledge of God? The image and the knowledge, God is holy, he is perfect, he is just. We are called to be that here on this earth. So as we continue in verses 10 to 17, what we're going to see is that we are called to fully embrace this new identity that we have. And so it says in verse 11, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Now, this passage, the power of the gospel and why it is so incredible is that as we talk about this happening in our lives, it transforms us. And what the Bible says is that it makes us one in Christ. That there is no longer division on anything. There is no longer these divisions, but with Christ in us, we have peace, we have unity, and so we are to put on a certain practice. We are to put on our new identity, it says. Therefore, verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive each other. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Here is the word that I want to focus in on here is that we are called to clothe ourselves with something new. That as God's chosen people, where we're no longer any divisions, there's no longer divisions among us here, okay? But And it says that we are God's chosen people. We're chosen, we're holy, we're dearly loved. So clothe ourselves in this. Now, here's the thing. As I do this, this is one example. So you can see yourselves here, right? But here's the power of this, of the Bible and of the passage, is that the Bible wasn't written, and God, he does care about us as individuals, but he has always had a people for himself, right? I'm not the, hey, who did that? He lifts me up. That's great. So cute. It's not only me up there, right? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that I am up there, and sorry guys, there was only one spot on that throne. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that I'm alive in Christ with God's people. So really, as we see our new identity, we need to understand that each of you, you can call, maybe that's you, I don't know, that you're up there too, right? And that this guy, he's up there too, and this guy is up there too, and I'm not going to get any, and that's okay. And he's up there, and this guy, right? You're up there. You can call out your name, because it's important that we understand that our identity in Christ is not one person sitting on the throne, that God has come and saved each and every one of us. Now, here's why it's going to be important as we have all of these things up there, okay? Is that he has called us and made us a chosen people, holy and dearly loved. There are a whole group of us who have a new identity in Christ. We are in the heavenly realms, but we live here on earth. And we are supposed to live as holy people here on earth, representing heaven here, so other people can see the glory of God, so other people can see the goodness of who he is and come and follow him and love him. God didn't just put one of us up there. He put a whole group of us, all of us. There is now no more division, Jew, Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free. If you are a believer in Christ and your identity is this, you are enthroned in heaven and we are one. That is called the church. It is the bride of Christ, and he loves it and he uses it as his vehicle. We are holy up there to be his holy people here on earth representing him. That's why we need to understand that we don't just put things off, that we also put things on to represent, as scripture tells us here, to represent and love each other. We are to clothe ourselves then with compassion with one another, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. And Jesus, as we celebrated with his incarnation and resurrection, that he came down and showed us how to perfectly live this so we can live it amongst each other. So that we can live as God's chosen and holy people representing him here and now on this earth. If we need an example of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, we stop and we meditate and we look heavenward, right? We set our hearts and minds on things above where Christ is seated. We see what he did as an example, and then we live that out with each other. God has provided that blessing to us as believers. He wants us to live in the identity that we have, but he hasn't left us alone. He has called us to do that as a body of believers together. And we are to continue to fix our eyes on Christ as we do that.